let's just jump right in. Michael Seifert, welcome. You are the director of this gang.
Thank you, Jim.
And here's what, I'll let you do the introductions of the people in our studio here and say whatever you want to about them.
All right. Well, my first up is Torsten, who plays Laurie in the musical Little Women. And to my right is Tashi, who plays Mr. John Brooks. And his love interest is to my left.
Oh, no.
This is Mercy. She plays Meg. And next to her is Ava, who becomes the love interest of Laurie. And she is playing Amy. And lastly, we have Melody, who plays Beth.
Beth, don't you have any love interest?
No. I kind of die.
Is it a happy death?
It's a very sweet death.
A lot of songs around it and people dancing?
Yes, there is.
Bring a handkerchief.
I thought she was going to say she was comic relief or something.
Comic relief.
I guess not.
Michael. Huh. Can you give a little background to the play, in terms of, are you the person who selected it? What were you looking for in a play that you wanted these incredible talents to participate in? Background on the play.
About 8 months ago, I started looking for a musical, probably saw 40 musicals in the period of months, and was looking for a play that fit this class. Not just the right number of parts, male and female, but also a story where the characters really spoke to the students, to basically a story that was inspiring, and settled on Little Women. It just actually almost reached out and chose us. The casting of the parts seemed to happen organically. Everyone knew who they were.
Who they wanted to be. How many students in the play?
There are 10.
There are 10, and how many songs?
There's over 20.
Over 20?
Yes.
Wow. So tell us about the production. It's going to be, let's get the nitty gritty out. Little Women, the Broadway musical, will be at the Panetta Theater tomorrow, June 14th. Now pay attention to the times because they change. From Friday to Saturday. Tomorrow night, it's at 6 p.m. The doors will open at 5. And on Saturday, there's going to be two performances, a matinee at 2 o'clock. That means the doors will open at 1. Good, good. And in the evening, it's at 7, not at 6. At 7, doors will open at 6. So there's going to be three performances. Okay, so catch us up, the listening audience, on where you are at with the play, the rehearsing. Have you done full dress rehearsals? Who wants to jump in and, silence descends over the studio. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
We've been practicing all week at the Panetta, and we have been in full dress.
Okay. And what does it mean to be in full dress when Michael says that? Who wants to jump to the microphone, identify yourself, and what does it mean?
Okay, so I'm Torsten Wright, playing Laurie. Full dress just means costumes, costume changes, props, all the sets, and also microphones, which is a very new experience for me personally.
Okay, and okay. What I want to ask is when you rehearse, you practice and all that, when you get into costume, do you become that person? What does it feel like? Like you're not you, Torsten? What does that feel like when you're all dressed up?
The costume definitely changes the way you act. Like they wore more suits back then. And when you're wearing the suit, it's just like your bearing and how you act is like much more of the character.
Okay. Sure. And Can I get one of the women to What's It Like? Can I get Amy, Meg, or Beth to say What's It Like? What's it like to wear, what, outfits from well over 150, 170 years old?
It's definitely a good experience because, like, you wouldn't like wear that on a regular day basis. So it's really fun to just like be able to wear it instead of just like wondering how it would feel like. And if that makes any sense.
It does.
But, yeah.
Okay. And do you find yourself being a different you?
Absolutely. Like a lot.
A different version of you. Okay. Michael, tell us something about the music and tell us something about, you know, the orchestra and all the different aspects of putting on a musical as opposed to a straight play, you know, where it's just dialogue. What are the challenges?
Well, for starters, learning the music is a long process. So the students had the music 6 months ago. They were learning their lines at home. And we come back together and with a full digital orchestra.
Okay.
We've been learning the different parts. Some of it is two-part, three-part harmonies. And they've had instruction from a music teacher and a lot of practice learning to project.
Okay. What's it like being on the Panda stage? Ooh, ooh.
Have you guys seen, has anyone ever been to a play in the Panada before? You have? Okay.
I've been on one.
You've been in one?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. So this is nothing new for you.
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
So maybe you can speak to the difference between practicing in the classroom, practicing in a wood shop, and now practicing on stage.
What's that like?
Mm-hmm. Is it at all? Yeah, I mean, is there any change when you move out of the classroom and onto the Panda stage? Does it feel different?
It's so different. I feel it's much more lovely, honestly, and it all becomes so much more real. Seeing the chairs in the audience and knowing that you will be performing there eventually and there's going to be eyes on you, it all becomes so much more real. But I love it, and it's quite nice.
Yeah.
And so much more big, isn't it? I mean, you stand on the stage and it's huge.
It's grand. It's amazing.
And you are Amy?
Meg.
you all look the same. You're all sisters, right? In the play.
Yes.
Whew, not in real life.
No.
I mean, okay. How was it in terms of just moving around in that space up on the stage? In terms of, you know, you're in a classroom, it's close and it's tight. How about the movement? Just, do you feel more free?
Well, yes, there's so much more room. I mean, opposed to when we were in the wood shop and in our classroom, we had such little room to move around before we'd go on stage, which having, like, being in the wings, it's still kind of crammed during performances and dress rehearsals, but it's much more room, and it's quite nice to have more room to move around.
Cool. I do know that you were practicing vocally outside the studio. Can you sing a song for us to give the listeners an idea?
Of course.
Oh, great. Okay, Michael, do you want to introduce this song?
This song is Off to Massachusetts, and it is set in the play. We have a cranky old grandfather who approaches Beth and wants to hear what she knows, and so she begins to play. So.
If you say, come with me off to Massachusetts, then to Massachusetts we will go. We will buy dishes there, maybe even two sets. Buy the finest china, then we'll dine a while on grape Suzettes.
Well, go on.
We will build model boats off in Massachusetts, there in Massachusetts, by the bay. Put them together and wait until the glue sets.
What's the matter now?
I don't remember the rest, sir.
While we wait, we'll polka for the folk along the parapets.
Off to
Massachusetts.
Yes, we're off
to where the shops are sweet.
We will play minuets off in Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts, Beacon Street.
Boston, Massachusetts, we repeat. Applause, people are standing in the audience.
Yeah.
Everywhere, yes.
That sounded great to me. Hopefully, with our microphones here in the studio and my attempts to master things, I think it sounded okay over the air, too. No, I think it sounded pretty good.
How many songs?
I don't know if the music was coming through as well as the voices, but that's.
I think it
who
was
cares?
Perfect. It
yeah.
was perfect.
Uh-huh.
How many songs have a word like Massachusetts in it? You know, polysyllabic and uh-huh. like a tongue twister.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
And this is one of 20?
22 about. 25. I think it's 22. 25.
25.
Wow.
25. Will there be an intermission, I hope?
There will be a 15-minute intermission.
Okay.
There will be.
Okay.
Let me repeat one more time. On the Panada stage from Nova High School, Little Women, the Broadway musical, tomorrow night, June 14th at 6 p.m., Saturday, a matinee, June 15th, the Ides of June, at 2 p.m., and Saturday in the evening, June 15th at 7. And tickets will be available at the door?
Yes, they are.
Excellent, excellent. Tell us something about the characters. You know, there's three sisters. I mean, we have three sisters here. What are the differences among you? What's the difference from Amy to a Meg to Beth with no love interest?
Hi, I'm Beth. Beth is really a shy. She's really shy, and she's sweet, and you don't really hear much of her. She kind of just goes along with, like, whatever the other sisters are doing, and she listens a lot to what Joe says. But she has this really sweet relationship with Mr. Lawrence, who is mourning the loss of his granddaughter or daughter, and so they're just good friends. And that's who they sang Off to Massachusetts with. So she's just like the quiet sister.
Now, are you the baby of the four sisters?
Second youngest.
Second. Who's the youngest?
Amy.
Amy. And what's your character like? I mean, we have the shy one, the one in the background with Beth.
Yeah.
And you are?
I am Amy, and she's the youngest, and she's kind of mean. She's kind of bratty.
Ooh.
But she turns out to be nicer as she grows older. And she just like wants a lot of pretty things, and she gets mean when she can't have them. And she has this like I don't know, like an enemyship with Joe, rivalry with Joe, which is the main character, and
is Joe the oldest?
Second oldest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old timer. You're the first of four.
Oh yes.
Okay. And what's that like? What's your character? Do you find yourself quote mothering them, or do you find them? Do you boss them, or?
I'd say she's quite sweet. She's quite the romantic, and so she's obsessed with John Brooke, and that's what occupies most of her thoughts, I'd say. She doesn't often fight with her siblings. I don't think her and her sisters argue that often, besides mm-hmm. Joe and Amy.
Okay.
yeah.
Okay, so Amy, do you feel like you're picked upon? You know, like you're the run end of the family. I mean, here you have the other three sisters. They've all gotten together way before you came along. And do you feel like, you know, they know more than you?
Yeah, definitely, like, I'm not, like, Amy isn't, like, thought about as much as the older girls. Mm-hmm. Because, like, she can't go to balls because she's too young.
Oh, no.
And she just, like, can't go places that the other girls can't. So there's like, oh, whatever, Amy's just over there.
Okay.
But Amy truly wants a lot more.
Do you guys have siblings in real life?
Yes.
You do? All of you? Okay.
We have two real-life sisters here in the studio.
Real-life sisters?
Yes. Real-life.
Okay.
Melody and Mercy.
Okay. And are you actually, do like your ages correspond? Does it line up? Are you the older one?
Yes, I am the older one.
Okay.
And don't you forget it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting casting twist, would have been to do it the other way.
Would have been so strange.
Older. Yeah. Do you bring that into your performance at all? Do you find yourselves acting as sisters?
Oh, yes. I think it helps, honestly, knowing that she is my younger sister. Mm-hmm. And so it helps bring Meg and Mel.
Mm-hmm. It helps bring, like, Meg and Beth out because they are really sisters, but we are really sisters in real life. Mm-hmm. So
what's the age difference in real life for you two?
I'm 15
and I'm 14.
Whoa. I mean, a whole year apart. Mm-hmm. And Tashi, you are the love interest of Meg?
Yes. Okay. I'm Tashi DeLong, who plays John Brooke. So John Brooke is, he's very formal, he's very upright. He's a scholar from Boston.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And so how do they get along? I mean, who are being from Boston, you're a bigger city than what, Concord, Massachusetts, the play takes?
Oh, yeah.
And so do you bring a certain worldliness to the small town?
Sure, you could say that, yeah.
Okay, and how long have you known Meg? I mean, is this just a...
Like in the play?
Yeah. Well, I hope so. In terms of in the play, is this a new romance? Is this a romance that's, you know, been around for a while?
It's definitely a newer romance.
Let me put it this way. What's it like being romantic with a classmate?
It's challenging. It's challenging to embody the romance, and it's challenging to stay in that love, going over and over every day. It's very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. And Thorsten, as Laura, your love interest is Beth?
It changes. So it's Joe and then Amy.
Oh.
So Laurie's the lonely boy next door, and he becomes fast friends with the sisters, and especially Joe. And then drama happens, and in the end, he ends up with the youngest sister, Amy, and they get married at the very end.
Whoa. And how does Joe feel about this?
That is a very hot topic in the class, so.
Okay. And Michael, how many total number of students are in the play?
So there are 10 students in the play with a student who is doing sound.
And we have
two other students that are helping backstage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so really we have half the cast here with us.
Yes.
Five?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Do you have another song to sing? Or
we do.
You do.
This is the Weekly Volcano Press.
Okay. And that is the newspaper? The Weekly?
Yes, it is. It is the, it's also a publisher who they're trying to, Joe is trying to sell a story, and she's been often rejected.
Okay.
And, this is basically an enactment of the story she has submitted.
Okay. Now, let's get the ages of the characters in the play. You're the oldest, and so how old would you be, Mercy?
I think she's 17.
Okay.
When the play originates.
Okay.
Or is she 17 or 18?
It's somewhere.
Okay. It's 17 or 18 for sure.
Okay. Okay, so you're all close in age, correct?
About a year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how about, you're off from Boston. How old are you supposed to be?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how old John Brooke is supposed to be. 20,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
20s. Okay. Like early 20s.
So this is a family play?
Very much.
Family friendly.
All ages, and are all of your real life families going to be there?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and can you, Michael, create the context for the song that we're going to hear?
So the story that is being enacted on stage comes to a crescendo, and we have all the characters in the play on stage. This is actually the only time everyone is singing together, and we're celebrating. It's a triumphant march.
Okay, and so here we have, ooh, they're doing finger signs and everything.
Oh, switcheroo.
You know, that's Torsten. He starts off with one with Joe and ends up with someone else at the end of the play. Okay. Okay.
Well done.
Let's do it.
I'm ready for destiny. When you dream,
my tresses are curled.
Your dreams come true.
I'll take what is extraordinary
way.
With curtains of fur.
So amazing.
I will not quit.
Sometimes
I will
when
be forgotten.
Girl,
I will shine. I'll
burn the
air. I'm ready to take
and
a
then
bow.
You are not the
I've
same.
Taken a solid
the world
round.
Becomes yours
my
today.
My destiny's here.
And someone else
now.
Feels the flame you always.
That was a short one.
That was.
I was just, you know, not like Massachusetts.
No.
You know? I mean, this one, I was just getting into it, and it's off. So is this one of the shorter songs, Michael?
Well, that's actually the ending of this longer act, act scene. And so it actually is way longer than that, and the rest of it is acted out by Joe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything in conclusion that you'd like to say, you know, that we're going to, we've got another set of couple guests coming in, and...
were you guys, like, aware, did you have to read the book, first of all? Did anyone read the book? Are you familiar with the, yes?
I read the book, I watched the movie, I did, like, a lot of research to base my character off of multiple different sources.
And thank goodness one of you did. It doesn't sound like anybody
else. I hope
else.
Michael did.
Yeah. Michael, have you read the book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, but everybody else is kind of coming into it cold, didn't know the story before.
Well, the movie's been, like, my favorite movie since I was really young.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait. Since you were really young, what are you now?
Well, since I was, like, since maybe five
six.
Okay. Yeah.
This really would young. Be the previous... This would be like the one from the 1990s, not the one. Yeah.
Yes.
I think the one you're with, not that young.
No, one, I'm not that young.
The one with Susan Sarandon. There's so maybe. Been so many different variations.
There's a lot. We're talking about the 2019
one.
Version with
Laura Dern
and Emma Watson.
Yep, and Emma Watson
and Timothy Chalamet.
That's right. Whoa, somebody has seen it, not only once. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, anything you want to say to your fans out there? You know, like, come see us. Come see us not once, but twice and three times.
It's going to be fun.
We've put a lot of work into it.
Okay.
You should for sure come see it.
Excellent, excellent. Again, Friday night at 6 p.m. at the Panada, Saturday at 2 p.m., and Saturday evening, a different time at 7 p.m., doors open at 1 hour before the performance. Michael, in conclusion, this is your chance.
I am really impressed with all of the students, how much they have put in, how far they have grown. Their performance is truly exceptional. So come on out. It's really going to be a lot of fun.
And I'd like to just throw in my two cents worth. I think it's important to come out and support young talent because we don't know where this talent is going to take us. We know where it's going to take us on Friday and Saturday, but who knows? So come out and support talent, young talent here in the North Idaho community. Again, the 6 o'clock performance tomorrow night on the 14th. 2 o'clock on the 15th and 7 o'clock on the 15th, matinee as well as an evening performance. at the Panda Theater. Anything in conclusion before we... Yes?
A big thank you to Mr. Seifert, because he has been amazing and helped us so much. So,
yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Enjoy your summer.
Yay!
Thank you all so very much for coming in. We're going to play a song that was released on this date in... 1964.
Okay.
Okay. I know I was around in 64. I know Michael was around in 64.
Mm-hmm. 60 years ago.
See, I don't know if anybody else was. Mm-hmm. This is a song by the Rolling Stones. It was on their first album, England's newest hit makers, called Tell Me. And it was written by Jagger and Keith Richards, one of their earliest compositions. Play it, Jack.
I want you back again. I want your love again. I know you find it hard.
That's the Rolling Stones from a song that was released on this date on June 13th, 1964. And it's off their first album on Decca, England's newest hitmakers, the Rolling Stones.
From 60 years ago.
Yeah, and and that wasn't my favorite song on that album. Of course, you don't remember it, Jack. You were...
No, I wasn't around at the time.
You weren't around, but I love Not Fade Away, the Buddy Holly song that they did.
They do a good cover of that.
They do an excellent cover.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that album as well as perhaps I should. I get into the Rolling Stones a little later on. I should go back.
The Let It Bleed?
That's
Exiles on Main Street?
That's my favorite era of the Stones.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of early stuff that's sort of fun.
Yeah. We are joined in the studio by Rob Talbot of Maddox Farms Productions and John Fershey to talk about the upcoming event, Summerfest. Sandpoint Summerfest or just Summerfest?
What's it called?
Sandpoint Summerfest.
Sandpoint Summerfest. Yeah, everybody around here knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's nothing new. This is how many years in are we on Summerfest?
Do you 30 guys keep years. Track? This is the 30th year.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
And 29 official instances.
And we have started, it started as Jerry Fest.
Remember Jerry Fest. Yes.
Remember
yes.
Jerry Fest. Yes. Which is in the, referring to Jerry Garcia.
Correct.
So it was called Remember Jerry Fest. I don't think
yes, it started so this after right he passed after away. Died. Okay. Yeah.
And transitioned at some point into Summerfest. I guess give us the details of where and when people can go.
So it's out. It's at the Eureka Center, which is out in Sagal. It's about 15-20 minutes off of the highway, and it's this beautiful property, 10 acres with this nice big amphitheater. So there's two stages. There's an amphitheater stage and a forest stage. The forest stage is kind of tucked away in the woods, kind of near the bar area. And then you've got the amphitheater down below, which is a bigger stage. And we've got 15 or 16 bands from all over the world, including local bands and musicians. John included here, mm-hmm. will be performing. And it's, you know, I think the thing that makes it, there's several things that make it a really unique and cool event is the property is beautiful. The community, the people that are there are amazing. You know, kids are just running around, having a good time, hanging out. And it's a very, very community-oriented feel. We all eat together. It's all-inclusive. So all the food and all the drinks are included. The camping's included in the price of the ticket. And it's just a real, real fun community event.
How does one go about getting a ticket to this event?
Yeah, so you go to eurekainstitute.org. So you can Google Sandpoint Summerfest.
I just did that, and all the information pops up.
Yeah, so it can pull you to either the Eureka Institute page or the Maddox Farm mm-hmm. page as well. There's a tab on the Maddox Farm page that gets you there. And you can buy tickets. There's still a few volunteer spots if you want to cut down on your spending. But yeah, there, and there's options for Friday or Saturday, or options for all weekend. So
it says on the brochure that all proceeds support youth programming. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the Construction Basics Initiative is a program that the Eureka Center started about a decade ago. With the funding from that, we help, we take kids and help them. We usually work on municipal or not other nonprofit building structures, and we help them learn a trade, learn skills. The most visible example of what the Eureka Center has accomplished are the bus stops around town. Mm-hmm. That was done through the construction.
For the spot bus.
The spot bus, yep. And that was done through the Construction Basics Initiative.
Those are great looking bus stops.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
those really look professional.
Well, we've got two members on the board that are very, very skilled contractors, Steve Holt and John Edwards.
Yep.
So yeah, it makes that a doable thing for us.
Who's playing this weekend? Do you have a either full or partial list?
Yeah, so it's June 28th and 29th.
Not this weekend.
Yeah, there's a full list on the Maddox Farm page, and the Summerfest page is getting updated to include everything. But, you know, we've got the two tracks. We've got a band called Outer Orbit, which is it's a collective out of Portland. If you've heard of Dirty Revival, they have a few members from Dirty Revival, which the female lead vocalist is in this band from Dirty Revival. And they are basically just a kind of collection of Portland all-star musicians, which is really fun. Hill Stomp, which has played in town a little bit. Mm-hmm. Amazing. A lot of fun. Banshee Tree, who's out of Colorado. And they started out kind of in that bluegrass rock realm with reminiscent of Fruition, but have blended more, you know, kind of taken it into more of a funky, rocky, almost techno feel at times. So they're a lot of fun, high energy, just a really good up-and-coming group. DJ Coral, who's an internationally touring DJ, who's based out of our area. Heat Speak, Headwaters, which John is a part of. Bio Beat, who's local, Davey Mullins. Spokane Is Dead, which is kind of the latest Lucas Brookbank Brown thing. And they're a dead cover band, which is obviously fitting. Brennan Kelty and Friends. Then we got Julie Wise, Belly Dance, and Dance Troupe as well. So two different nights with dance. We got Matt Mitchell Music Company, open mic with John Fershey, Cole and the Thorns. Sadie Cecilia is coming back, her her performance debut after having her latest child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to have her coming back. And there'll be a couple more announced.
Yeah.
And we always have we call it the Grateful Breakfast. I think John can tell you a little bit more about that. That's fun on Saturday morning, which is, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we get up Saturday morning and we get a group of guys and a group of girls and guys together and play some dead tunes for everybody to eat breakfast to. So we just kind of pick some familiar stuff and go back through and remember, you know.
Yeah. How long have you been playing at Summerfest?
I've been playing there about 4 years.
Yeah.
And then going about 6 years. And,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of a newcomer to the scene. It's been going on for a long time. But it was a natural fit for me, and I feel right at home there.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved going to festivals, and this one's right close to home and has everything you need, and it's cheaper than any festival you're going to find out there, and it's a really good family community vibe that just is, it's like a good break from your summer to just get together and have a shared experience together.
Yeah. Music, there's breakfast, and what else do you do at Summerfest? There are other activities.
There's camping. Camping is included in the price. We do. Mm-hmm. There's dinner Friday night and Saturday night. There's a breakfast brunch Saturday and Sunday mornings. There's disc golf to be played.
Yeah, they got a nice 18-hole course.
Yep,
cool. Right on site.
Really nice course. And there's just lots of picking and hanging around the campfire and hanging out. And
yeah.
Eichardt serves a beer and wine and some kombucha and other other non-alcoholic beverages. And
is it you can go to, you don't have to camp, you can go just one day if you want to.
It's true. You can. Yep. Okay. And if you go on Friday night and you do camp, then or if you pay for Friday night, you can, or you can camp Friday night too. That's part of the ticket price.
Oh, cool.
So your ticket price Friday night includes dinner Friday night, and if you want to stay for brunch.
Yeah. And too. All right. You may not have to drive on Friday night after
that's the plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's part, you know, the idea is that we're all getting together to hang out and have a good time, and no need to drive home and risk being unsafe.
Yeah.
Also, you know, just again, part of keeping everybody together and having a good time together is the ethos of it.
It's been going on for 30 years, but you've only been, you were not there in the very early days of
it. No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you like, how does Headwaters like playing there?
We love it.
Yeah.
So it's our favorite gig of the whole summer. We look forward to it all year long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
about approximately how many people tend to show up to Summerfest?
Well, so that's a great question. So it's, I've been involved since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So there was 3 years I was involved pre-COVID. And those were all ticketed events. And we were pushing the bounds of really what the space wanted.
Uh-huh.
We were getting up to 500 people when, you know, that in 2019 when we had Tri-State Revival and Honeysuckle and Digging Dirt and Moon Tricks. And it was getting pretty busy.
Yeah.
So the COVID, we obviously, there was the year we took off in COVID, and then we also for 2020, and we started back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been kind of this, you know, more private event. Come if you can, and donate what you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot more. It was a little tamer as far as the amount of people that came, and it kind of built back up. And last year, I think there was probably about 350 people. And this year we're limited tickets to that 300 number.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully people are getting out there and getting their tickets early. Don't wait to get them at the gate, cause they may not be there, but also they're more expensive at the gate. So
right now they're
$175 for the whole weekend. But if you use this code that I'm about to give you, and I'll give you again later, you can get $25 off that and get an early bird price. And that is KRFY.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
_ SSF for Sandpoint Summerfest.
Okay.
So KRFY and then that _ SSF. Okay. So if you go use that, then you can get $25 off.
Hey, that's a deal, yeah.
Your weekend pass.
That's great.
And that's Friday, June 28th, and it begins at 7?
No, 3 o'clock, I believe, is 3 or 4 o'clock.
That's when people can start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, some people start filing in a little earlier than that.
Sure, sure. And then Saturday, the 29th, and it ends on Sunday, the 30th.
Yeah, and Sunday, the 30th, there's a bike ride usually, and that, you know, mountain bike ride kind of tool around, and no music, but it's kind of just kind of a relaxed day. There's a lot of disc golf. That's when I start to breathe.
Yeah, yeah. So one can get a ticket for Friday night or Saturday or the whole thing.
Correct.
Cool. Yep. Okay. And you go to, just do the Google of Sandpoint Summerfest and you'll find the breakdown.
Correct.
You said you had a few people, or you were still looking for some volunteers. Is that right?
We still have a few spots open for volunteers.
What would that entail?
I believe it's either a four or it's a few hour shift. A 4 hour shift, and you get a discount on your ticket. And all the details of that are on that web page as well.
Cool. So it's pretty much a volunteer run operation. Or
it is. Yes. Yeah. Pretty much, you know, the grounds crew, everybody does volunteer work.
Yeah. Everybody kind of pitches in.
I booked the lineup volunteer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And Steve gets the grounds ready, and we have a bunch of people decorate and help get there earlier in the week to clean up, clear up. And, yeah. It's a pretty fun community effort. Cool. And it's honestly, it's one of the reasons that I love going there with my family. You know, my wife. It's usually happened in middle of June or middle of July. Sorry, so we moved it this year because a couple other events that were going on, and we just kind of wanted that weekend to kind of be our weekend.
Yeah.
You know, Pride is a big thing. It was on the same weekend as Pride last year.
Okay.
And you know, we got a lot of feedback that people wanted to go to both events. So
sure.
Anyway, you know, like I said, I've got a 2-year-old or just turned 3, excuse me, and a 4-year-old, and they both, you know, my daughter went to Summerfest when she was a month and a half old the first time.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was 8 months pregnant with my boy when we went in 2019. Yeah. My girl started walking at Summerfest.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, a couple years ago. So it's just, and there are people that have stories like that have lasted 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's a really fun community event that it's just, I don't know. I've been to a lot of festivals and I love music, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just a really unique space and beautiful.
What do the kids do? Little kids like that. I'm surprised I knew it was family friendly, but that's an awfully little kid.
Well, so there's a lot of, there are organized things that happen, and it kind of changes over the years, but usually there's a little parade that happens on Saturday with the kids. Parade through the space, dress up and face paint, and you know, there's games, you know, we have different people volunteer and they set up game stations or things like that and go on hikes with the kids. You know, for me, I've got a few family groups, friend groups that we just kind of get together, and we get there at the, you know, early enough to all park together, and you know, there's 3 or 4 families, 5 families sometimes, and you know, the group of us will go listen to music and leave a couple parents with the kids, and they hang out and go, but you know, we kind of trade off back and forth. It's really amazing.
And kids really love, my kids have always loved it, hanging out with all the other kids and running around playing,
and it's not too loud. No. Or you can,
yes,
yeah.
There's always a space to be able to hear it at your own level.
Yeah, because it's a big enough, 10-acre spot. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess you mentioned the. I know where the Eureka Institute is. It's right in that. I mean, the Segal Peninsula offers a lot of kind of beautiful recreational activities
that you can. Yeah, and people oftentimes on Saturday dart off to Green Bay or you know, over to the lake and go to the marina and whatever and take a dip or go for a mountain bike ride or bike down the road or go for hikes or disc golf. It's a really, I mean, it's just limitless opportunities out there, really.
Green Bay's closed this year. You know that?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. They're remodeling it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's totally closed, no public access, or just no camping.
I heard it was
totally just sealed off.
That's what I heard.
Huh. Yeah, what a bummer.
Lots of bummer.
I know.
There's still other places, too.
Garfield Bay.
Cool off.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still get down to the lake. We are running short on time. Is there anything else we should mention besides that code again where do people go again to get tickets? How do we do that?
So you know, either you can Google Sandpoint Summerfest. You can go to MaddoxFarm.com and then click on the Summerfest tab, or you can go to Eureka-Institute.org. And there is once you get there, there's a code you can use, KRFY_SSF for Sandpoint Summerfest. And that gets you $25 off. And it's just a great time. I think we should kind of, I'd like to close out hearing Fershy's opinion of like just being there again. Like, he's there. Like, I just think of Summerfest and I think of Eichhardt's being there. Mm-hmm. And I think of the family friendly nature, and I think of John. Like, John's always there. He's a staple of it. His energy and his love of music and community, I think, are just a perfect example of what Summerfest is.
Yeah, it's really what it's all about. Is everybody really comes together and gives of themselves to make it happen and make it a fun and safe weekend for families to hang out. And it's it was originally started as a continuation of to try to get together and have a shared experience around music and family when we lost that, when Jerry passed away. And these people, John and Steve, who created this event, they were visionaries to see that in the future we're going to need something like this for people to get together and have that shared musical experience that we, you know, have had to travel so far in the past to get. And we have it right here at home, so it's, we're pretty lucky to have it. And if you like music festivals, this is the best one you're going to find in the local area.
Sandpoint Summerfest, okay. That's June.
2 weeks, two weekends from here.
28th and 29th.
Yes. And 30th.
And 30th, right. Including the including Sunday. Well, thanks, guys, for coming up.
Yeah.
Thanks for being
here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll, yes, that'll be fun in a couple weekends. Jim, do we play a little music or go?
We can play, or we can mention a few, like POAC's Art Walk starts tonight.
Let's do that. Let's talk other events going on in town this weekend. You guys can stay or go. Either way.
Thank you for stopping by.
Let us know what's going on at the Panada, too. We know that
the Panada tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, Little Women, and on Saturday at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, a matinee and an evening performance of Little Women. And tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
The POAC Art Walk opening reception. That's where local businesses and galleries showcase local artists through mid-September. And tomorrow night, you can pick up an official 2024 Art Walk passport at any of the Art Walk locations. And there's little brochures. And you can go to the POAC office on 2nd Avenue and pick up, as well as at the different venues.
Okay. I don't have the exact details, but I do know this. There is here in town a rhythmic gymnastics, I guess you'd call her a rhythmic gymnast, who is going on to the national level competition, and she will be. The nationals are on June 21st. They are not here, so if you want to actually see what she'll be performing at nationals, you can go see. It's Sophia Wolfsey, and she'll be doing a dress rehearsal at Kootenai Elementary tomorrow, June 14th. Kootenai Elementary. That's not too far away. You will have to do some research to find out exactly what time that is, but I'm sure there's not that many events going on at Kootenai Elementary now that school's out, so you can go to the one that happens on Friday, because I don't have the start time, and I couldn't find it. But it would be worth seeing a national level rhythmic gymnast perform before she takes her competition to the big stage, I guess. That's going on tomorrow at Kootenai Elementary.
And tonight at 9 o'clock on your radio station, 88.5 KRFY, Jim Healy, that'd be me.
That's you.
Will be doing the Our KRFY Folk Show, and I'll be showcasing the last two CDs of a 4-CD set of History of Vanguard Records.
Okay.
And I'll be playing Ian and Sylvia, Tom Paxton, Joan Baez, and a whole bunch of other artists that are on the CDs 3 and 4. I did 1 and 2 a while ago.
The Chafe 150 is this weekend. The big bike ride. 150 miles, but they also offer 180, 40, and 30 mile routes. And KRFY will be
Ta-da!
We do the rest stop for the 30 and I think maybe the 40, but we're out at Northside Elementary.
Okay.
We will have things like, I think we have pickles and pickle juice.
Yummy.
We have snacks and light.
Stop it. You're
refreshments.
Making me hungry.
But I think we may, if I can figure out the technical details, we may even do a little live broadcasting from out there. So tune into the radio station on Saturday if you want to hear us check in from the Chafe 150 and maybe talk to some of the riders as they go by. But either way, whether we are able to figure out the live broadcasting or not, because we'll be out in the boondocks, and I don't know if we can get our equipment to work out there. But whether we do or not, we'll be there, and that's this weekend. And I think you can still sign up for the Chafe 150, but you can't do it the morning of. I think you have to sign up like today or maybe tomorrow. And there's more, but Rob, you're representing the Panada now. Anything you want to mention coming up this weekend?
Yeah, well, I just coming up in general, check out check out our website. Sign up for the newsletter if you're not already on that. I mean, we got 7,000 people on that, so I would expect you're already on it if you're listening. But if you're not, get on there. We've got some fun announcements coming up. We just announced Andy Gross, who is a magician and comedian, in August. Saturday, August 17th. So tickets are on sale for that now. We've got Full Draw Film Tour coming up on June 21st. We got Brokeback Mountain on June 28th. Missouri Breaks, the Ballad of Missouri Bill, on the 29th. And like I said, we're going to have a lot more stuff coming out in the next week and a half. So pay attention and get those tickets quick, because I think we got some stuff you're going to want to get in on.
Are you doing Hundreds of Beavers?
Have you heard of it? Since I don't know what it is, right. I probably wouldn't say.
It's a Minnesota thing, I guess.
Is. Yeah.
It's got to be.
It, basically, yeah. Actually, it's from Wisconsin. But yeah,
close enough.
It's close enough.
Is there a difference? No, sorry, Crail.
All right. Okay. That's it. We're out of time. We actually are. It's time for Bird Note. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. KRFY Ponderay.